Hi, I'm Vernon Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Dr. Jacob Lang, OD. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in western Minnesota called Glenwood, so about 2 hours west, northwest of the Twin Cities in Minneapolis.
What did your parents do?
I grew up on a dairy farm, so they were dairy farmers when I was a kid. My dad also worked at a manufacturing company that builds the baggage carts that you see at all the airports running around on the tarmac. So he worked up his way up and did more of that as I got older and less farming, which was pretty common in the 80s that less and less dairy farmers around.
What did your mom do?
She was at home when I was a kid, and she did a lot of retail clothing and things like that, working in retail settings there.
Why ocular disease and contact lenses, especially coming from a dairy farm?
I had iritis when I was I don't think I was a teenager yet, but around there. And so after going to the emergency room several times, and then finally seeing an optometrist who helped me out, seeing the division of medicine was kind of big for me in saying, oh, there's other things out there, and all doctors aren't created equally, nor do they know everything. And so that was kind of my insight into that. While I was in optometry school in Boston, I just kind of gravitated towards the front of the eye and contact lenses. There's just a lot going on there, and just kind of connected with me, the math and the ways that you could correct vision, and the technology there just really kind of lit my fire. The technology in contact lenses at that time with corneal topographies and mapping, and how that's evolved into, you know, refractive surgeries and other procedures, that I just think there's a lot going on and a lot of opportunity to embrace technology and utilize it to better care for our patients.
You did a residency in contact lenses. Why a residency in contact lenses, and should more OD students go that route?
Yes, I think optometry needs more residency-trained optometrists. I'm biased because I help run one, but I think that just the level of education and dedication that goes into that year of residency is very important and very helpful in an optometrist career. So, yeah, I really feel like there's so much to be gained by doing a residency that that it's a great opportunity for optometry across the board. And why I did cornea and contact lens is just where my passions derived, and everyone's are different, and having that different exposure and different subspecialties and types of residencies, I think, is huge and important because, like I said, we can't all do everything.
Well, my question really was to the point, why did you decide to do the residency?
Just because I wanted to further my education. I realized in my fourth year that I didn't know enough in those areas, and I wanted to, and I wanted to set myself up as someone that did know a lot, and to give myself and my career the opportunities to further and better and continue to grow through my entire career. And so I saw residency as a next step to pushing myself forward on the forefront, on the edge of the profession.
You're adjunct faculty at Illinois and Salus. What made you get involved again with academia?
After getting out, and I worked at the University of Minnesota for a while, then ended up at Associated Eye Care, and just the integrated care model we have at Associated Eye Care really lends itself to educating others, mm-hmm. Whether it be within our colleagues at Associated Eye Care, and also bringing in outside doctors, so externs and residents. And so I wanted to make other doctors better. And so we reached out to some schools and started doing that. Which has evolved into a ocular disease residency program that incorporates all the doctors at Associated Eye Care, which has been big. But yeah, the real reason to do it was just to make other doctors better. That's what it's all about, and then hopefully giving patients better care.
Do you think maybe you might eventually drift into academia full time?
I don't think so. Who knows? Maybe later in my career, I could see that. But there are some advantages to private practice and academic worlds. I don't think I'm ready for that yet.
Well, since you mentioned it, what are the advantages to private practice versus academia for you right now?
I think there's more opportunity to be busier with patient care in a private practice setting, which I enjoy. There's less, I think, rules as far as this is what we do in a private practice. If it makes sense from a patient care and financial standpoint, we usually move forward with things. In academia, there's a lot more hoops to jump through and to prove that we need to do this or we need to do that. So I think the ship is a little faster steering in private practice than in academia, and I enjoy that.
Your practice is in the greater Metro Twin Cities area, and that serves a lot of rural communities. Do you see a different mix of ocular disease versus in a suburban or urban practice?
Sure. We're kind of right on the edge of the east and northeast side of the metro. So we have actually offices in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And because of that, you see quite a diversity of conditions just based on people's life experiences and their cultures and heritages and financial backgrounds and other things. So yeah, we get quite a diversity from urban St. Paul setting and patients to more rural settings. So we'll see more injuries from, farm work and things like that out in the rural settings. Also, some people that maybe let things go for lack of access more out that way. And then in the more urban settings, sometimes it's similar things in that they've let things go too long because of financial or access issues because of insurance. More impoverished patients, I would say, from some of the more urban settings. Also, just the variety of disease too. Sometimes you'll see things that if we have a fairly large immigrant population in St. Paul from Somalia. And sometimes you'll see things like trachoma, which we just don't see in the United States. And we'll see a patient that, they had trachoma as a kid. Now they're left over with all these things, brought it over, or their eyes brought it over when they came to the United States. So that immigrant population's a little different as well.
What's something your colleagues don't know about you?
If I tell you, then they'll know
Well,
about
that's part of the fun.
But something my colleagues don't know about me. I don't think they know how much I like to do outdoors things because most of the times they see me in a classroom or lecture hall setting, in a hotel or a convention center. But I spend a lot of time, or I like to spend a lot of time outdoors doing things, fishing, hunting, golfing. And so most of my time, my free time is hopefully spent skiing and all these sort of outdoor activities that I enjoy. So it's a very different world because we don't get to do too many eye exams outside.
This past winter, it got down to like minus 28 up there. So, why Minnesota?
Minnesotans are kind of like salmon. We all come home spawn to die. So after optometry school and my fellowship, the Midwest, I have a lot of great ties and just love the change of seasons, whether for better or for worse, whatever you want to consider it. It's just kind of has definitely some strings on my heart that brought me home. So I enjoy the change of seasons, and I think you have to as a Minnesotan or Minnesconsin or whatever you want to call me.
Life on the border, yes.
That's it, life on the edge. So, it is tough and challenging, and but some of that is life, and I think that the lessons of living in the Midwest Being prepared for weather and learning how to deal with adversity is good lessons for life. And so I enjoy that and embrace it and wanted to raise my family there. But yeah, it was really, really cold. My son had like 5 days off of school in a row because of either snow or cold or the combination. And so it was a testing winter.
What's your guilty pleasure food?
Ooh, guilty pleasure food. Anything that's not good for you. Barbecue is probably something I like a lot. Meat. So brisket, pulled pork, that whole world is true and dear to my heart.
You work closely with ophthalmologists as partners in your daily practice.
Yep.
In a broad scope as care providers, how can ODs and MDs work better together?
I think it all comes down to communication. I don't think there's much that's very different between us now. And I think we're seeing that kind of generational shift where optometrists and ophthalmologists realize that we need each other, and that's hard to say sometimes for both sides. But I think, again, we better each other when we work together, and I think that betters patient care. So really, just as in many facets of life, communication's key. And so if you have an open communication line with ophthalmologists in your area or your group or whatever, and realize that the patient's what comes first, that communication will just make everything better. And reaching out and saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. What do you think about this? Or why did you do this? Or what do you think about me doing this? Really opens up the gates of collegiality, and really I think is so important for all of us.
How do you see what you do as an optometrist changing in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think we're going to have more to do, more responsibility in eye care is going to fall onto optometrists just because of the need. That there's going to be this wave of patients retiring and needing more eye care. And I think there'll be less ophthalmologists around as they're retiring and as their residency enrollments are kind of flat, that optometry is going to have this huge opportunity and necessity to fill the gap, to take over things that we are good at, dealing with patients in clinic, and hopefully helping delegate more operating room time to our ophthalmology colleagues so they can do better and more surgery.
So what's one piece of advice you would offer ODs following behind you?
Lifelong learning. Don't give up. Don't get complacent. Don't feel like your cup is full. And realize that there's more and that everything's always evolving and we have to stay on top of things all the time to know what's next, what's newest, how can I do my job better, how can I better care for my patients. And so continuing that learning process through the entire career, shooting for the stars and continuing to better yourself as a practitioner, I think is my advice or my recommendation.
Do you have any regrets?
I like to think no, but I know I do. I try not to focus on them. I can't say there's a big regret that I have. I think, you kind of find your way in life and that's the way life's supposed to be. And so I see my regrets more as lessons, life lessons than regrets.
Now for our last question, and I inflict this one on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
I lived in Minnesota. The craziest thing I've ever done, I'm not too much of a risk taker. I was in Alaska for a couple weeks between optometry school and residency, and we had some pretty hairy adventures out in the backwoods. Of Alaska. So we're talking really, really out there stuff, hiking into places to fish that were completely off the grid. And by being off the grid, we're also a great place for bears to hang out. So wading across these like rushing glacial streams with a backpack up to my, you know, chest in water.
So where were you in Alaska when you were doing this? I mean, start at the beginning.
Okay. So I flew into Anchorage, and I had a great friend from kindergarten that I've known since kindergarten that moved up there after high school. And me and another buddy from high school went up there to see him for a couple weeks. He kind of shuttled us around a little bit. We rented a vehicle and drove out into the boonies and ran around. So a lot on the Kenai Peninsula. We went all the way up towards Denali. Yeah, he hiked in, I think, 9 or 13 miles or something like this with the packs and had to cross rivers to get to kind of where we were going. And they were the power of the rivers up there is something to behold not really realized compared to the small creeks and tributaries we have here. So we kind of went all over that Anchorage area for weeks on end.
Well, you mentioned bears, so.
Yeah, when you're camping and watching across the valley and watching the bears go up and down the hills saying, oh, I wonder if there's any on this side of the river and this side of the mountain. Yeah, there's pretty big footprints in the rivers. We never got too close to bear, but moose, which can be just as treacherous, came popping out of the woods right between me and my buddy while we were fishing. A cow and a calf came right out and popped out of the stream and said, oh, what are these guys doing? And fortunately just kept moving and didn't come towards us. But lots of those little experiences where, you know, you don't have control and nature is in charge for sure. But so beautiful and such a great experience to be out there and be able to do those things at a time in my life when I could. So really good times. But you always wonder, like, something happens here. This isn't going to be great.
Well, Jake, that's all the questions I have for you today. I'm glad we got to chat.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It's nice to meet you and thoroughly appreciate the opportunity.